Bishop here with you, and welcome to another edition of Devlin's Pirate Radio Show. I am back with you, and I have got some things to talk about, because that's, well, it's always good when you do a podcast that you have some things to talk about. I want to take this time to thank all of the people out there who have sent comments telling me they enjoy the show and just everything. It's always nice to hear. I don't always get that feedback right away, but sometimes I've bumped into people on the street and they said, I've loved your podcast. I've listened to a couple episodes, and that's just great. Gotten a few emails from people I haven't heard from a long time saying that they enjoyed the show, some relatives. It's just a good feeling. And, you know, please continue. I love hearing from you guys. And even if you don't feel you have much to say, say it anyway. You know, I'm a big, strong believer in saying what you feel, and, you know, and I love hearing from you. And thank you for all the people out there who have taken the time, or even if this is your first time listening, thank you for taking the time, because I know the world gets busy, and we have lots that we want to accomplish and do, and I totally get it. So it means even more to me that you would want a couple minutes with me. I'm going to start this podcast off talking about, well, it's going to start off about school and then maybe coming out a little bit, but basically we're going to get to one of my great loves in life, and that's dancing. I'm not the greatest dancer. I'm not a classically trained dancer, but I do love to just get lost in the music and dance. But there was a time it wasn't like that. I actually had to build to that, so bear with me. But hopefully in this journey you'll see why I am such an advocate of dancing being such a great medicine. When I know, I'm not really sure on my high school stuff, but I think we're around prom season right now, where everybody's looking for their prom dresses and trying to ask the right person. Well, I never went to my prom. I didn't go to my prom, I never went to my graduation, and to be honest with you, I went to one dance. But that wasn't even in high school, that was in elementary school. I went to a grade 8 dance. Now don't say, oh, he's missed all his things. I know some people think, oh, you have to go to prom, it's a milestone. Don't get me wrong, my high school years weren't horrible. I'm sure I'll talk about them during the, you know, the run of this podcast, but I had a pretty good high school life. You know, I had some setbacks, not as bad as some people do, so, you know, I feel weird to whine about it, but I just didn't have one of those John Hughes Breakfast Club 16 candles pretty in pink kind of lifestyles that I hit all the marks the way you're supposed to. You know, go on your first date and going to your prom and graduation. I just it wasn't that important to me. And to be honest with you, the people I hung out with, they weren't really big on school too. School didn't treat us the greatest, so why did we want to spend any more time there? Now, I'm certainly not telling people you shouldn't go do it, but don't feel like you have to. But, you know, I don't look back with regret. Some people might. So, you know, by all means, if you're not sure on the fence about going to the prom, you know, give it some thought. Is this something that when you're 40 or 50, you're going to think, I should have gone to the prom? For me, I never look back on it with regret. Now, the only school dance I went to, which kind of soiled me for the whole thing, was a grade 8 dance. It was near the end of the year. And I guess it was technically like a prom graduating into high school. But not really, because it wasn't as, you know, fancy. But I remember I was kind of confused still at the time, but I actually had a crush on a girl named Judy. And basically, I had a friend that just pushed me, and he really wanted to go, and he didn't want to go alone. So I basically finally said yes, just to keep him quiet, pretty much. And so Norm and I went to the dance, and I kept saying to myself, I want to dance with Judy tonight. I didn't dance through the whole dance, and I saw Judy. Everybody was dancing with her. She was very... She wasn't popular because she was popular. I don't want to sound rude, but she was popular because she was probably the most developed girl in school at the time. And again, I'm not trying to be crude. I'm just being stating the facts. And as much as I'm a boob man and enjoyed watching her dance, I actually got to know Judy as a friend, and we laughed a lot in school and hung out, and she was just amazing. The final song came up, of course, Stairway to Heaven, back in my generation. We're talking about late 70s here. And basically, I had to find her. It was my last chance, because I didn't know if I'd see her in my high school. I didn't know if she was going to Scott Park. So I looked for her everywhere, and when I found her, she was already dancing with another friend of mine named John. And I was just devastated, and I left the dance, and I basically, you know, I said I never wanted to dance, go to a dance again. One, because I didn't like the thought of dancing in front of people. That was my thing. I was really worried about it. And two, that night, I realized that when I saw John and Judy together, I kind of came to the realization that I was more jealous because Judy was dancing with John, and this probably opened my eyes a lot more to something I knew that was growing inside of me, that I was gay. So anyhow, yes, Judy and John are also the main characters of the song It's My Party. I am well aware that my life fits the song It's My Party by Leslie Gore. Anyhow, so I just decided I don't like to go to dances. Now, I'd still love to listen to music and dance around in my bedroom, but there was no way I was going to dance in public. And I still continued that when we went to, you know, when I got to the age to go to bars. I didn't go to a lot of bars, but when we did, I'd never dance. I'd just be one of those guys that just didn't. And then when I went to my first gay club, I remember how much I really liked to dance in my room, but I went by myself to the first gay club. It was the Embassy Club in Hamilton. It's kind of, I hope it's always there, because it's kind of the inaugural place that every young Hamilton gay man goes to. And I remember it was a retro night, and maybe I'll talk about that in more detail in future episodes, but basically what happens is I went. I decided I was finally going to go. I dressed up what I thought looked good, and I was always so afraid to go to a gay club because I was always afraid. In all honesty, I was always afraid it was going to look like, you know, a red carpet thing where all these people with cameras would see you going into the gay club, and then the next thing you know, you're on the cover of the Spectator. Look who went into the gay club this week! I did. I was really naive. I really thought so. So when I got there and I got in with no trouble, it was cool. And I remember even a funny moment where I actually got into the gay club and I actually sat by a window. Now, I think the windows are tinted now in the Embassy, but they weren't early on. And now we're talking about the 90s here, I think. And I remember sitting by the window thinking, hey, look at me. I'm sitting in a gay club. And then I looked out the window and I saw King Street, and I'd be looking over and seeing people walk by and things. And I go, look at me, my first time in a gay club. I'm all here by a gay club. And then I look out the window again thinking, look at me sitting by a window in front of a gay club. You were worried about people seeing you, and now you're standing right in front of the window. Anyhow, all this great retro music was being played and I was tapping my toe. Now, in the gay club, there were a lot of, like, older guys, younger guys, or, you know, twinkie guys kind of dancing together. And there was the couple of people dancing by themselves. There were also lots of lesbian couples. And there was a lot of people dancing by themselves. And I said, well, I could easily just go on the dance floor and just dance. But a lot of those people just, you know, they looked kind of lonely. They looked kind of crazy. There was a lot of people dancing. And then, you know, they were playing all these great, you know, Prince and Madonna. And I think the first song I walked into was Come on Eileen by by Dexy's Midnight Runners. And, you know, I was just loving all this music, and I couldn't bring myself to go up and dance. Even though something in my heart said, you're going to love it once you get up there. Well, I decided I'd wait for a sign that I was going to head home, but I was going to finish off my last drink, and if a song came up that was a Destiny song, as in a song that played an impact in my life, that I would go. So as I'm drinking down my last bit of drink, I suddenly hear the opening strains of The Time Warp by Richard O'Brien. Now, anybody who knows me knows I'm a huge Rocky Horror fan. And I know how to do The Time Warp. So I took this as a sign. And I ran up on stage, and I basically just danced my ass off. And then they played other great songs, and I just stayed on the dance floor. You know, Michael Jackson, Duran Duran, just every retro thing you could think of. And as the night went on, I didn't care what people thought of me. I may have even seen the odd person looking and saying, wow, he flaps his arms in the air a lot, or he twists a lot for a bigger man. But I didn't care. I was in the zone, and I was just feeling it. And I hated the fact that I waited so long to shake my booty. And now most people know I won't hesitate to go up and dance. And that's basically where I'm getting to, is that I absolutely love to dance. And I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say. I've danced in all kinds of places. I recently went to an Elvis show with my friend Deb Curran and her husband Chuck, and they played some really early country music at the beginning before the Elvis show. And I'll tell you, I saw a whole bunch of older people. Like older, like there was a lady, I swear she must have been in her 80s. And they did some country line dancing. And to see older people, the show was at a Legion. So I love going to a Legion, because even at the ripe old age of 47, I tend to be the youngest person there. There might be the odd person who's a little younger, but it's great for my ego. Anyhow, but when I saw, like, older people up on the dance floor just dancing their heart, I just absolutely loved it. I didn't do the line dancing. I like to do freestyle. I'm all over the place. But I eventually did get to go up and do some dances with Deb that night, and it was a lot of fun. Fortunately, I had a bit of a head cold, so I'd cough too much, but it didn't slow me down for the dances that we did dance for. Now I can't even imagine my life dancing, without dancing, whether in public or not. We actually throw video dance parties in my apartment. This just happened accidentally. I collect music videos, and I'd pop videos on, and we just dance our asses off, and then we started bringing food out, inviting just a few friends that I know wouldn't look at us too crazy, and we just started putting videos on, and we moved the couch back, and I realized my apartment actually has, you know, a good size for dancing, and sometimes it's just me dancing, and sometimes I have a friend, Alexandra, that comes over, and she'll dance with me. The rest will just sit, enjoy the music, eat food, and chat, and we just have a great old time. I always tell younger people when I meet them, and I don't like to give too much dating advice, but one of the things I try to tell them is, especially straight men, is don't be afraid to dance. There is nothing. And I'm not trying to speak for all you ladies, but I've talked to a lot of you ladies. And I know a lot of you ladies love when they actually have a man that will go on the dance floor a few times. You don't have to dance all night, but take her out once in a while, because you might think it's cool when you're standing there and like, yeah, I don't dance. I don't dance. But you know what? I will tell you, she will be so ingratiated to you to see you out on that dance floor, whether it's a slow dance or if you feel like, you know, dancing out. You know, I am telling you, this is a great, great thing to always know, because women enjoy that. Now, dancing to me is almost like second nature. I do it in private, you know. But as I said, I will do it on the dance floor. I love it. I wish I went out dancing more. I feel so alive, you know, when you just hear a song come on and then you just kind of go with it. Or you dance to the point of exhaustion and you feel like you're about to collapse. And then they play some great, you know, song that you love, like, you know, like a song like that for me would be like Daft Punk, you know, One More Time, or, you know, Rock Your Body, Justin Timberlake or something. And then I go and continue dancing because I cannot sit down for this song. It's just an amazing feeling. My energy's all pumped and it's just racing through me, and I just love it. And as I said, it was so refreshing to see older people dance. You know, I hate weddings. Anybody who knows me knows that I am adamantly hatred of weddings. I'd talk about it more, but I know people love weddings, so I try to keep things a little positive here. But one of the things I love most about weddings is sometimes you'll see a sweet old couple that wait for that slowed down song, maybe an Unchained Melody or something, and then they will go out on the dance floor and you just see how young they are still in spirit and everything, and it is such an amazing moment. I went to my first Pride and they had it outdoors, and two amazing things happened that night. And not just me going to my first Pride event here in Hamilton. One, an old couple, two men, slow dance to Elton John's version of Stand By Your Man by Tammy Wynette. And I remember how awesome it was, because in the gay community, relationships end so fast. And there is a lot of positive ones out there, but you don't get to see them because they like to focus on, you know, how badly relationships can go. And to see this couple that I think had been together, I want to say it was 35 years they were celebrating, it was just amazing. And the other thing that happened that night that was amazing is it was my first Pride and I was on the dance floor all by myself, not caring about anything. It was outdoors, never danced outdoors before, but the wind was just felt so great. And the music was cranked, and I was with my friend Corda, my producer of this show. And she was kind of a wallflower like me. She loved listening to the music. You could always see her tapping her toes. And I knew that night would be her first night, and she did. She stepped out on the dance floor, and she danced her ass off. And it was amazing that she took that step, and now whenever we go dancing, she tries to get out on the dance floor whenever she can, and I was proud of her that night. And just dance, that's all I'm saying. That's what the whole thing of this segment is. And summer is a perfect time to find places to dance. I always have music on me, so I can always whip my stereo out and find something to dance to. So, hey, if you're with me, there's a dance floor wherever. Anyhow, it was great talking dance, and we're going to stay on music. I actually had a request to talk about something, and I have said I would talk about certain things, and I'm going to fulfill that request next. Dirty Pop. Yo. E.T. Sick and tired of hearing all these people talk about. What's the deal with this pop life, and when is it gonna fade out? The thing you got to realize, what we're doing is not a trend. We got the gift of melody, we're gonna bring it till the end. Come on now. Like a carpet drive, what I wear around my neck. All that matters, since you recognize that it's just about respect. It doesn't matter how we close our wear and where we're going, why. All that matters. Welcome back. You're listening to Devlin's Pirate Radio Show, and we're here with you talking about music right now. I told you some time ago, if you want to send me ideas for things you'd like to hear me talk about, I'd love that. I know that's not easy to say, you know, because obviously if somebody said, I'd like you to talk about politics, you know, and what your feeling is with the Harper government, I probably won't do something like that. Just, I have opinions, but I'm not educated enough, in my opinion. You know, but that's just not my thing. And I've had some people say that they love when I talk about personal things or talk about my parents. And that's stuff that I'll always talk about. And with the summer coming, I'll be waxing nostalgic, I'm sure. But I did have a request from my producer, Corda, who wanted me to talk about boy bands. Anybody who knows me, I have a diverse musical taste. You look in my MP3, you'll see everything from the Beatles, Frank Sinatra, Madonna, AC/DC, the Ramones, Michael Jackson. Like, it just goes on and on and on. I love so many different styles of music. And it's not even like, oh, I'm in a jazz mood today, or I want to hear big band or heavy metal. I like to just mix it all together and, you know, have a mixed playlist. And I've had many people compliment me on my playlist. But I have to admit, and I don't want to call it a guilty pleasure, because I don't necessarily want to believe in guilty pleasures. If you like it, you like it. Be proud about it. And I happen to be a big fan of boy bands. And still today, I like boy bands. Now, boy bands could say originated way back. You know, if you want to argue about it, you could go back to like the Osmonds or the Jackson 5, the Bay City Rollers. Technically, they did play instruments, but a lot of boy bands can play instruments. But I'm going to be talking mostly about the boy bands that came after what I consider probably the first official boy band, and that was New Kids on the Block. They didn't necessarily play their own instruments. They were just five cute boys from, I want to say, Boston, and I think they were all from all over. And they were put together and gave us some great hits, like You Got It, The Right Stuff, Hangin' Tough, Cover Girl, I'll Be Loving You Forever, Step by Step, Tonight, so many great songs. Anyhow, I remember when I became a big fan of New Kids on the Block, and I was way past the age of being into that. I was probably in my early 20s when they came out. Possibly. Yeah, I think something like that. Really early 20s. Anyhow, I just liked the freshness. It was pop music, you know. They kind of evolved thanks to, like, you know, Debbie Gibson and Rick Astley were these young people performing, and I guess they got this idea, well, what if we put five really good-looking guys together, give them dance numbers, you know, give them dance routines, and dance to this. And I was in. I was sold. I thought they were all pretty cute, and I really, my favorite was Donnie Wahlberg. He was like the edgy one. He was like the, you know, the street guy, and it was funny because, you know, they always kind of portrayed him as from the street, but, you know, when you look back now at them, it's just kind of silly. But you know what? They gave us some fresh pop music, and I remember that they, you know, did all the tours and did all the teen magazines, and they even had a TV show. They had a cartoon show that was pretty bad, but I even watched that just because I thought it was like watching a train wreck, kind of. You just couldn't take your eyes off of it, even though you knew it wasn't right. But, you know, New Kids on the Block have, you know, I kind of like that, you know, they were really big. And then what happens is, now, what happens is their fans grow up and they start getting into different styles of music. They, you know, they came just on the edge of, like, grunge music and, like, 90s, you know, kind of, you know, ton of female solo artists like, you know, Jewel and Sarah McLachlan and stuff. So, you know, they always say the fans grow up and then kind of leave them behind. I agree that that's pretty much the way boy bands technically die. But I also believe that that's not always true. Because there's always the next generation of teenage girls that can follow them. I believe the next kind of wave that we had was in the late 90s when we got Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and we just got a ton of other boy bands. But Backstreet Boys and NSYNC were the big ones in this. Backstreet Boys, of course, gave us songs like As Long As You Love Me, Everybody, Backstreet's Back, Quit Playing Games With My Heart, just a ton of great songs. And of course, NSYNC, I Want You Back, Dirty Pop, Tearing Up My Heart, just too many to mention. Bye, bye, bye. Sorry, couldn't resist that one. I can't just say bye, bye, bye. I have to do it like, you know, that Justin does it. But anyhow, this was like the next wave, and this was like an even bigger wave. New Kids on the Block was phenomenal, but I think Backstreet Boys and NSYNC did really big. And Canada actually has a lot to do with this, because Backstreet Boys actually credit Canada to actually, that was, we were the first country to pick up on them. We actually were playing their first album, and then they came out with their second album, which became a big hit all over the world. But they, if you listen to that U.S. album, it actually mixes stuff from their first album, which we were already listening to. So there's some probably music fans out there. Oh, great. Thank you, Canada. But I think it's always been amazing that we helped bring Backstreet Boys really big. And then, of course, NSYNC came kind of as a... I don't want to say, like, a ripoff, because I think they had the same producers at the very beginning. It was almost like, oh, if we can make money on one boy band, we can do another. And at that time, then, you know, British groups like Five came out, and 98 Degrees from America. There was just a ton of them. Three Deep. Anyhow, I was a big fan of Backstreet Boys. I think I was a bigger fan of Backstreet Boys than I was of New Kids originally. I just liked the Backstreet Boys. They were kind of classy. There was like five different ones again. And again, NSYNC took me a little bit to grow on them. I didn't think their music was very strong at the start, but then I listen to it now and I think it's good. And that's what I love most about boy bands. Okay, I'm a gay man. You put five or four good-looking men in front of me dancing and moving their butts, yes, I'm going to watch that. But the thing I love most about boy bands is I like the melody. For an example, one of the current big boy bands right now is One Direction. They might be on their final wings, but they are huge. When they first came out, I really didn't like them. I was listening to groups like Big Time Rush from America and The Wanted from Britain. I thought they just had a much better sound. Even when One Direction had their big, big hit, What Makes You Beautiful, I didn't love it as much as everybody else did. I thought it was still kind of mediocre. It wasn't until they started releasing songs like Kiss You and Best Song Ever and You and I and Story of My Life where I realized that they were finally making some solid music, and that's when I started enjoying One Direction. My favorite boy band of all time is Big Time Rush. This is a group that really didn't have... They had limited mainstream appeal, and a lot of people probably don't know them. They actually had a Nickelodeon show on based on the group, and I, to this day, think it was the best thing, because a lot of the Monkees might very well have been the first boy band, just because they did eventually learn how to play their instruments. Some did when they started, but they were basically put together. They're good-looking, let them do zany things. And that's exactly what Big Time Rush did. But over the years, they have tried to recapture the magic of the Monkees. And I think Big Time Rush is the only one that came close and may have even surpassed it. The shows are silly and goofy, but their songs are just absolutely pop-friendly. And I'm saddened that they never really did well. I think they lasted about three or four seasons. They did have major success. It's just radio stations didn't play them. And this is where the big thing about boy bands were. They always say that the fans grow up, and that's pretty much how boy bands die. So you just kind of have to deal with it. But in the case of Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, I believe that critics and radio actually killed them. They were still making really good music. And to be honest with you, Backstreet Boys and New Kids on the Block still put out CDs. And some of their songs are phenomenal. New Kids on the Block have songs like Summertime and Remix that are just incredible. And the Backstreet Boys are still putting out great songs like Bigger and Straight From My Heart. And the thing with it is the radio stations just don't play them anymore. Now there's a nostalgic feel, so you'll now hear old New Kids stuff and old Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and all them. But it's not just the fans grow up. I think radio stations actually killed Backstreet Boys because they just got tired of them, just stopped playing them stuff. They were still releasing solid music, but if you can't hear it, you can't. That's why I'm glad now with boy bands that you can watch them on YouTube or go get them on iTunes anytime, because you're not limited to just the radio play. It's nice when you can hear them on there. You know, One Direction's probably heading down the path of going to be splitting up soon, with one of the members, Zayn, already gone, and, you know, teenage girls and boys in turmoil because of it. But there's lots to pick up the slack. They've already got the Vamps in Britain that are doing incredible, who have amazing music. And as an Australian boy band for the first time, which they are rocker boys. They play their own instruments. 5 Seconds of Summer, that She Looks So Perfect, is like one of the best rock anthems I have heard from a young band like that. Now, as I said, you know, yes, I can admit, all good-looking guys, they put them in front. That's probably why you think I like them. I'll admit I am shallow. And yes, it might get my attention at the beginning. But the thing I love about boy bands is I love pop music of any kind. And I think boy band music, a lot of it is actually really good. I don't care if you're shouting back at the radio right now, at the podcast, I really like the melodies. I really like the thing. I do not care if they have not written their own music. I love when I see a singer-songwriter write their own music. But there are a lot of wonderful singer-songwriters out there that cannot hold a tune. So people like Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley did not write their own music. But they had lots of wonderful people to give them phenomenal hits. And I don't think anybody should be held back. If you are a great singer, just because you can't write a song, to me, is ridiculous that you should not have a career. And vice versa. We'd be missing beautiful music if they said, well, sorry, you can't sing your own music, so therefore we'll never hear it. I like the fact that it moves in there. And I don't care if a boy band can't write music. As long as they can perform it and give it to us, it's great. I feel a lot of great things that have come from it. I connected with my young niece, Nicole, when she was younger. We used to relate to the fact that I knew all the boy bands she liked. In fact, I would send her, have you heard this group yet? You know, I remember us sitting and talking about, you know, the Jonas Brothers before the Jonas Brothers had even really made an impact and stuff. And I love that because we had a connection. We could talk about that. And I think she thought it was really cool that she had an uncle that knew about this. You know, she might have thought it was a little creepy too. You know, why do you know so much? But I think she still likes that. And still to this day, we laugh because we'll send music clips. And I'll see stuff she posts on her Facebook. And it doesn't surprise me that she already likes it or knows about it. Another thing, I remember when I went to a karaoke one time. There was an older lady. And she must have been in her 60s, I would say going on 70s. And we I noticed that when I sing karaoke, I sing a little bit of everything. I can sing David Bowie, I can sing Queen, I can sing just whatever I feel like. Some CCR I do is one of my regulars. And I noticed that this lady, most women of her age would go up and sing, you know, maybe some Tammy Wynette, maybe some, you know, Patsy Cline. But she went up and she would be doing stuff like I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys. Or she might do, you know, It's Gonna Be Me by NSYNC. And I always was impressed that she would always be singing these, at the time, were very current hits. And when somebody would sing one of these at karaoke, she would be up dancing and feeling good. And I remember she found out I was a big fan, and she actually asked me to go up and sing Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears with her, and I was honored. I didn't think I could sing that song at all, but she just wanted somebody up there with her, and we did it. And after I talked to her, I said, I'm impressed that you know so many of this boy bands or just young music. And she told me something that stuck with me, and I think it'll always stick with me. She said that as she gets older, she sees a lot of bad in the world. She's seen friends die, family members going through sickness. She sees friends just starting to close up their hearts and not be young anymore. And she says that every day she fights losing that youngness. And when she listens to like a Backstreet Boy or an NSYNC or 98 Degrees, it makes her young. And she said she's done her share of crying in her life. And so she'd rather go out and shake her ass and sing, you know, oh, 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 rather than put on some sad song and remember about all the dark side in her life. So after she told me that, I didn't shy away from telling people that I like boy bands. In fact, in my rotation, you are pretty much going to hear something in there. Yeah, you might hear a Johnny Cash or a Kiss or ELO or any kind of thing, Led Zeppelin. But it might be followed with Backstreet Boys or a One Direction song. And you'd be surprised how many times they actually mix better than you would think. So that lady, I don't know where she is now. She may even have passed, but it's amazing how that stranger told me one thing, and I will never be ashamed of being a boy band fan again because of that lady. And I hope I can still sing and dance to the next crop of boy bands that will probably be coming up in the decades ahead. And yeah, that's left me in a really good place right now, and I'm gonna take a break. I'll be back with my final segment.
Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly with his song.
Softly with his song, killing me softly.
back for the final segment in this episode. And I'm going to be talking about a movie. Because since I've been off, I've gotten a chance to watch a lot of movies. As a movie buff, I love to watch films, but when I'm working or I have shows or something or teaching at the staircase, whatever I'm doing, I tend to not have a lot of time to watch stuff, so I have to sneak in movies wherever. But since I've been off unemployed, I've watched quite a few movies, whether they've been in the theater, like The Avengers and Mad Max Fury Road, or just putting on some old favorites, like the Indiana Jones movies. I've recently watched some of them again, and some Star Wars, Guardians of the Galaxy I watched. I've also caught up with some movies I hadn't seen, like Inglourious Basterds, which, it's one I just I've owned, but I've never seen. I finally got to watch it and absolutely loved it. I've even watched a couple schlocky films. I finally got to see Zombievers, and I enjoyed it way more than I should have, and I admit to that. I also saw a great shark movie, an Australian one called Bait, which was, well, I think a little higher class than all these Sharknadoes and Sharktopus, but I really liked the idea of a tsunami, that basically comes over Australia, floods a supermarket. All these people have all these things going on in their lives, including a robbery at the shopping mart. And then once all the lights are gone and the water's filled the grocery store, they realize that there's a great white shark in with them. Talk about, you thought you had a bad day. It's a great movie called Bait. I liked it. I hear a lot of other people didn't. I thought it was pretty good. Anyhow, so I just keep putting on movies, what I feel like and stuff. And one Saturday night, I actually put on a movie that I had been dying to see. And like any other night, I made some popcorn, put it on, and I basically, as the movie progressed, I realized that I was watching a good portion of my life. It actually kind of hit me to the core because of how close this movie resembled my life. I put it up as a status, but I couldn't even name the movie. I was still kind of in shock. Now, I've thought I've seen my life played out in other movies. East of Eden with James Dean. I thought there was some similarities. Good Will Hunting with Matt Damon's character. I definitely have some similarities in there. Even movies like Grease, I think, were kind of like me, the Sandy role, you know, trying to find my voice in the world, or my skin tight black leather. And then, you know, just other movies that, you know, had nothing to do with my life, but I just kind of related. But then I put this movie on, and I'm looking for just a couple of hours of enjoyment, and as it goes deeper and deeper into the movie, I'm seeing my life played out. Now, not every detail, obviously. Nobody can have that. But the similarities, there's just way too many. When I first put this on as my status, I refused to name it. And I thought, what an asshole I was. You know, literally, when I think back of it now, I think, what an absolute egotist I am. Like, putting up the name of this movie would have, like, everybody like, oh, I gotta watch this movie now, find out what Devlin's really like. What a fucking narcissist I am that I think that anybody would actually go out, rent this movie just to see if they could see similarities to me. Like, I'm honored when you guys take time to listen to this podcast, but I literally sometimes get in my head that, oh my god, I can't reveal the movie because everybody's gonna, like, go see this and just think, oh my god, they'll know me. And that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous, and that's why I decided I'd let some time pass, but then I was gonna talk about it because I know there might be the odd person who's seen this movie and be like, oh, I think I get it. But most probably may have seen this movie and write it off as nothing. there might be one or two people for interest's sake might see it on a Netflix and say, you know what, let's watch it. But I think they'd watch it for their own enjoyment and not say, let's find out what Devlin's all about. So I hate that I can be that stupid and egotistical. But the movie I'm talking about is The Perks of Being a Wallflower. It stars Logan Lerman, Ezra Miller, and Emma Watson. It's based on a book, and trust me, I have thought nothing about getting that book as well, but I've lived my life. I don't know if I want to live it again. The movie was haunting enough. Now, as I said, not all the similarities are there. I will have little spoilers of this movie in there, but not the really big ones. If you've seen the movie, you can just figure out what I'm talking about, and if this is a movie you want to see, don't worry, I'm not going to ruin it in any way. The story is basically about a young guy who has some emotional issues, as we find out. And he is in high school, and he's trying to find himself, trying to make friends, and basically he goes on a bit of a journey and meets a group of friends that bring him to new places in his life. But eventually, as it goes, he starts dealing with some stuff that he never thought he would deal with. And first of all, the movie is really well done. I will try to watch it again now that I'm going into it, because I think there was a moment in this film where I just had my jaw hanging down and I wasn't even sure if I was getting it all in. The similarities in this movie, like as I said, there are some big details that don't. The character I feel I am is the lead, Logan Lerman's character named Charlie. I was a shy boy. I was chubby. I was shy. I didn't like making friends. I could make friends, but it wasn't something I did. It just happened. I was not the kind of kid to put myself out there to meet people. So that part was easily done, but how many of us haven't fit that bill? You know, how many of us had trouble talking to people when they were younger? Maybe even now. Then he meets a group of friends that kind of accept him in a way, and I've had that several times in my life. I've had that in high school, where I hang out with a group of friends that were just, they weren't popular, they weren't anything, they were just crazy, you know, and they accepted me for who I am, and they took me on whirlwinds, and I hope to talk about them in certain times, but I just don't have a lot of time now. But, you know, people like Richard and Norm and Mike Obermeyer, they basically, you know, even Dave Marshall, a good friend of mine, they accepted me for being me, and we got to be weird together. That is a big aspect of this movie. There's even a scene, one of the biggest things, and I've told people this, I haven't talked about it here on the podcast yet, because probably waiting closer to Halloween or something. But Rocky Horror Picture Show is not just a awesome movie to me. It changed my life. I basically was in a theater and saw the Tim Curry character. And when I saw people rooting him on, I actually had a feeling in my life that said, maybe I can live with my gayness. And people won't automatically hating me, because I thought people would just hate me because I was gay. But Tim Curry may have been the villain of the movie, and he slept with everybody in the movie, but he just thing. There is a moment where they actually take him to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and he sees it for the first time and absolutely falls in love with it. He even later in the film becomes a part of it, as in he becomes obsessed with it and starts going out there and doing his thing. I host Rocky Horror at the Staircase for several years, and I love being part of that world. So the Rocky Horror aspect was huge. I couldn't believe it. It blew my mind. It was almost like, except for certain details they changed, this is exactly what happened to me. Now, Charlie finds out that he has mental issues. He knows he has them, but it plays out as the story goes. I have never been diagnosed with a mental issue. I sometimes believe I may have a minor form of depression, but I don't think it's as bad as I've seen some people get in my life. So I've never been diagnosed. He has almost periodical moments, I won't say psychopathic, or he has intense psychological moments. I don't get these. What I do get is they actually show what happens when he starts getting these feelings. As in, everything good in his life is suddenly... Everything is still good in his life, but he perceives the world in a very dark way. And this movie does a great job of explaining how I have those moments where life just... Everything in my life is going good, but I am like an open nerve and everything runs me the wrong way. And I see every darkness, every negative thing. And this movie got that. Now, they play it up in a big psychological way, but it was kind of exactly how I feel to the world sometimes. He also has to deal with unrequited love. And in high school, and even in my 20s, I was the king of unrequited love. It was a very lonely time, but I would constantly fall in love with my straight friends and absolutely not know what to do with it. I knew I could never tell them. I knew I couldn't deal with it. It made me an absolute mess. It made me a wreck. The movie didn't deal with it quite like that, but a little bit. And it was a very lonely life. I'd go home just dreaming of wishing I could turn into a girl just so I could be with them. Cherishing every moment in the that I got to spend with them, and the jealousy and rage that I had when they started seeing other people, you know, dating them, but they were just doing what they should be doing. And inside, I was just dying. Whether they figured it out or not. And this movie does deal with that, but not to the intensity that I had to deal with it. Now, they actually try to explain what may have caused his psychosis. Which, as I said, I never had the psychosis aspect. The trigger... is different, but very close. Probably something you will never, in fact, I know I will never talk about. It's something I have dealt with, and I will always deal with. It's very different in my life than it's handled in this movie, but it's certainly probably the cause of a lot of my issues. And so, when I watch this movie, it's unbelievable. Now, I have seen movies, as I said in the past, where I've seen bits and pieces, like, oh my God, this is my life. But I have never seen a movie that was just so, it was like I was having a flashback. Not that I'm as cute as Logan Lerman, but literally it was like actors were playing parts. And although, you know, there might be some differences, you know, because the Charlie character isn't gay, or, you know, certain triggers, like I said, didn't happen. They happened sort of like his, but not quite. But it was just, it knocked the wind out of me. I felt I almost had to talk about it. I did talk about it to Mike, and a friend of mine called that night, and we talked about it a little bit, but he didn't know really what to say or do. And I'm certainly not looking for a remedy, and I, you know, I'm not telling everybody to go out and see this movie. Honestly, it's a great movie if you get the chance to see it. I would probably rather you not think about, hey, this is Devlin's life story when you watch it, but, you know... If you've seen it and you kind of get it, I don't hold that against you. I thank you, I guess, if, I don't know if thank you is the right term, if you do go out and rent this and have me in mind when you watch it. Will it make you understand me a little more? I'd like to think I'm more complex than a movie, but I think you would be able to understand a little more about me. But again, I don't necessarily advise that, unless this is a movie you were always planning to see. Somebody said, when I mentioned the movie without naming it, I hope it had a happy ending. It did. And I didn't focus on that enough when I first saw it that night, because I was dealing with all the darkness and the Rocky Horror scene and the journey. But it did have a happy ending. It was up in the air kind of ending, which I think is good for a drama film about life, because you never know what's going to happen. But at that point, I think it is considered a happy ending. In fact, I was on the edge of my seat because I felt it was going to go and end badly. But it has a nice little twist at the end. I'm not even sure why I'm sharing this. I think this is kind of where I use my podcast as therapy. I need to talk it out sometimes. And see, when I make these podcasts, I don't think of the amount of people who are listening to this. I sometimes even forget that people listen to it. And then I bump into them and they said, you know, like I talked about suicide a couple times. And when I record it, I'm all emotional and I deal with it. And then I just put it aside thinking about what I'm going to say next. And then I'll bump into somebody and said, oh, that was an amazing show, but that was really hard to hear you talk like that. But I'm glad you did. And I think that this is a case of that. I just need to get it out of my system. And I thought maybe talking about it will just put it aside or make me understand it a bit more. Because I know once this recording's done, I'll put it to bed, put it online, and then I'll be thinking about next week's already. Thank you for taking the time to hear this. I don't know if you got anything from this segment, but I think it helped me. And even though I may talk of darkness and sadness, my life has got so much I'm blessed for. And the good outweighs the bad. And all I dedicate my life is to have a happy ending. When people were asked what they want to be when they get older, some wanted big careers, some wanted lots of money, I just always wanted to be happy. And I definitely have made strides in my life that have put me in a place where I actually really want to be right now. So that happy ending is in reach. In fact, some days I'm already living it. It's going to be a long, long, drawn out happy ending. And it may have its dark days, but there's more laughter than tears. So thank you for letting me vent, get this off my chest. I look forward to seeing you again next week, and I will talk to you very soon.